So it's a real privilege, actually, to be giving a talk here. I did my first retreat here at Vajrasana in 2010. So yeah, it's great to be sort of back here. I've been here a few times since then, but first time giving a talk. I'm going to refrain from making any sort of jokes about being on a sort of pedestal, that sort of thing. And my talk is completely in English as well, no French. I might use a word that I wanted to just explain. Oh, yeah, volume. I'm going to be using the word Bante quite a bit, probably. That's a term of endearment for our teacher, Bante Sangharakshita, again, Sangharakshita. So I might slip and use Bante, so just to explain that. And yeah, my brief was to, yeah, as I mentioned, talk about relationships in my life, relationships and friendships, and how they've been a supportive condition for me to move from group consciousness to individual consciousness, to kind of try and illustrate and help you to find a way into this material. So I hope it sort of does that and illustrates that, and you'll have a chance to sort of explore this more in groups later on. So yeah, that's my brief. So I'm going to be talking about how friendship has been one of the sort of key conditions, really, in my sort of practice for this this sort of shift, and how it's brought about sort of greater individuality, purpose in my life, and a sense of kind of inner direction. And yeah, I don't need to give an introduction because Dharmanatha gave a great introduction earlier, but I do want to just highlight the importance of developing friendship. Actually, it might not be immediately sort of obvious, this sort of movement towards individuality. Where does sort of friendship fit in? It might not be obvious. But Trivatna, our movement, there's a sort of emphasis on friendship as being really, really key. And I think it is really key. That's certainly been my experience living in the sort of modern Western lifestyle that I live in. So Bante says that individuals are the basic ingredient of the spiritual community. And there's a famous story, actually, that I really like. It's of the Buddha and one of his friends, Ananda. And you might have heard this before, but Ananda went to the Buddha and he sort of wanted to check out a kind of insight that he'd had with the Buddha, and sort of said to the Buddha, I think that friendship, it must be half of the spiritual life. It's so important. And the Buddha replied, it's not so, Ananda, it's not so. Friendship is the whole of the spiritual life. And I find that quite sort of illuminating myself. It's quite a thing, isn't it? Friendship is the whole of the spiritual life. It kind of goes against my sort of Western individualistic sort of views that I'm living my spiritual life kind of as a kind of solo project. So I'm going to move on to talk now about sort of group conditioning, and just to sort of recap a little bit, we're all sort of influenced by group conditionings, particular groups we find ourselves in. They sort of inform our ideas about the world, our views, our habits, the way we act, and the way we sort of act, that shapes our sort of consciousness as a sort of karmic consequence to that, to group conditioning. And individuality, as we've heard, is freeing ourselves from that group conditioning. So just to talk a bit about my own group conditioning, I grew up in the north of England. Got very sort of strong family ties, very good relationship with my mum and dad and my sister. And in many ways, I had a really fantastic childhood. I had everything I sort of needed, loving parents, really good sort of conditions. I learned a lot of my sort of values from them. They're very generous people, very kind, very sort of honest, loyal, that sort of thing. But I did develop a sort of particular sort of shape, I suppose. I think one significant thing was that my dad used to work in a factory, and he worked night shift and afternoons and mornings. I was telling Vinay about this because Vinay works nights. So I didn't see my dad very much actually when I was growing up. A lot of my sort of contact was with women, and I suppose I developed a particular way of being in sort of male company, sort of in groups of men. I was a very sort of sensitive kid, and I didn't sort of feel particularly sort of comfortable. I was an only child until I was in my sort of teenage years. So I didn't develop a kind of a sort of robustness around other men, and this kind of this sort of shaped me, I think, in a very sort of particular way. Yeah, in the North, I guess, I've written down here, masculinity in the North, it's about being hard, you know, like sensitivity isn't sort of valued. And I wasn't, you know, I was a bit soft. And I think it was just a sort of lack of confidence, really, just about being around other men. I sort of lacked a little bit of sort of confidence. And, yeah, there's sort of a particular lack of kind of intimacy, I think. I think this is the main sort of point. There's a lack of intimacy in my sort of male friendships, my male people I looked up to and my sort of peer friendships. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess, it's just a sort of uncertainty about sort of where I sort of stood in the world. I sort of developed. I was quite a shy kid, actually. I tell people that. People are really surprised often. But I was really shy. A bit of an introvert, actually. And, so the sort of views I started to kind of develop through that sort of shape was that, one of the main views I sort of worked with in my Dharma life was that I wasn't good enough. I sort of had quite low self-esteem, when I was sort of growing up. And this led to kind of particular kind of habits. So I threw myself into work. That was my way of sort of getting on in the world. So I sort of developed sort of perfectionism. I had to kind of almost sort of prove to myself that I was good enough or something like that. There's this view that I wasn't, and then I was sort of trying to prove that I was or something. Something like that. So I developed sort of perfectionism through that. And I also developed conflict avoidance. This has got me into a lot of trouble in the past. Bending the truth, not being fully honest with people, just trying to sort of avoid conflict situations. Particularly around people I identified as authority figures. So trying to prove myself, competitiveness with friends is another one. Overall, my sort of overall kind of shape in the world, I suppose, was one of sort of defensiveness, a sense of self that was sort of defended quite sort of strongly, sort of feeling really threatened quite a lot of the time. And that sort of shape in the world, I guess, was the sort of nuclear, very familiar to us, I think, the sort of nuclear family. So a lot of my intimacy I got from women. So, interestingly, I've had a lot of, I've had some really good male friends where I've been able to go deep with. But I'm not very. I sort of didn't really like the kind of matey sort of lads banter kind of. I never really sort of enjoyed that. But on the whole, I would say it was quite a sort of quite a nuclear shape, that kind of nuclear family shape. Getting a lot of my confidence from my relationships with women actually, a lot of my sort of relationships, my girlfriends that I've had, have had quite sort of strong personalities, actually, very sort of confident, and I sort of gained sort of confidence from that, from being in contact with them. And I mean, I'm saying all this with a new perspective in a way. I sort of realized all this when I started practicing the Dharma. Much of this was completely unconscious, of course, back in the day. And that's come about through developing friendships with other men, actually. The friendships I've developed in Sri Ratna have been the conditions for me to turn towards all of this and to work on these views and habits, to work on this group conditioning, and to move towards greater sort of individuality, which I'll go on to talk about now. Yeah, this word. So, I mean, we use this word, spiritual friendship. Just to sort of explain this a little bit, actually, just before I do that, spiritual friendship. It's not sort of. It's quite interesting what we're sort of talking about. I really like this definition again from Bante from Sangharakshita. He talks about growth. So, spiritual friendship is about. The growth of the individual, basically. That's what we're sort of talking about. It's not just about we sort of meditate and we get on with our own practice, and it's quite handy to know other people or something like that, but we're doing it as a kind of solo project. Actually, spiritual friendship is about being in contact with other people who, through that contact, allow you to sort of grow as an individual. So Bante uses this description of the good friend and the spiritual friend. So a good friend, I'll just read this out actually. Bante says, the good friend is sympathetic. In business, he lets you have twice what you ask for. He tells you his secrets and keeps yours. He does not let you down in misfortune. He would sacrifice his life for you. He would even sacrifice his life for you, and he keeps you from wrongdoing. So that's the good friend. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? he would even sacrifice his life for you. But what Bante says is that there is another level of friendship, that's spiritual friendship. It's only the spiritual friend that can help you grow. So I'm going to talk about two friendships that... are really sort of dear to me, and actually one of my friends, Kamala Naga, couldn't make it this weekend. He was ill, so he had to pull out of the retreat, unfortunately. And I always like talking about Kamala Naga when I give talks, because it firstly gives me the opportunity to tease him, which I love doing, but secondly also the opportunity to rejoice in our friendship. I'm also going to talk a little bit about my friendship with Arta Siddhi as well. And myself, Arta Siddhi, and Kamala Naga have lived our sort of Dharma lives very closely together over the last few years. And so we've done study together, also with Amanda Bhadra here in Mitra study. We've told our life stories to one another. I was trying to remember how many times. I think we've done it sort of three times, maybe four times, something like that. Myself and Kamala Naga have been working on a common project together, the Young Buddhist project. We went up to Padmaloka and did most of our sort of training for ordination together. We lived together for a while. I joined the Padmakula community for 5 months. And then last year, myself and Kamala Naga were ordained together at Guhyaloka by Arta Siddhi. So we all lived together for 4 months there. And I mentioned the sort of key characteristic of spiritual friendship being growth. I think one thing that is key to that is intimacy. I mentioned intimacy earlier. I think getting to know one another on a really, really intimate basis has been really sort of key for me to sort of develop my friendships and then to sort of develop myself personally as well through that. It all sounds really sort of wonderful, doesn't it, what I'm sort of bringing into the room here. But it can also be really inconvenient, actually. I think, actually, it's kind of maybe necessarily inconvenient, actually. It's sort of challenging. I've heard Bante say that spiritual friendship can be like a cold shower, not a warm bath. And I've got an example of this when... I was living at Padmakula, and unfortunately, Kamala Naga isn't here, so I can't tease him about this. But it was a instance where we sort of clashed, basically. Our sort of worlds kind of clashed, and it's in this area of kind of views that I was talking about. So me being a perfectionist. I was handing something over to Kamala Naga in the Young Buddhist team, and one of the things he was working on was taking on more responsibility. And I sort of saw in an email that he'd sort of dropped the ball a little bit, and me being a sort of perfectionist, that was really uncomfortable. So I jumped in and sort of resolved what I saw as an issue. And then Kamala Naga came sort of up to me later that day and basically told me it was really unhelpful because he'd been trying to take on more responsibility. He'd also been working on his communication as well, actually, so it was a bit of a sort of shock, actually, that he was able to kind of come up and point out this view. It was like a cold shower. But what came from it was, although it was a bit sort of uncomfortable, it was a bit sort of exhilarating, actually. It was like, it was something sort of quite exciting. It was like my sort of shape, Kamala Naga, come and sort of knocked me out of shape. And he was a sort of different shape as well, or something like that. So, in reflecting back this view, it sort of really sort of challenged me. But actually sort of was really sort of helping me see where I needed to kind of grow, basically. And I've got an example from my friendship with Art City as well. actually, I've just gained so much from Art City, actually, so much sort of support and encouragement and confidence from my sort of connection with Art City. My sort of relationship with Art City, it's a sort of vertical relationship. Art City's been ordained for many years. And one of the things I think about a sort of vertical friendship is you can kind of get clearer on views. So you get a more sort of objective view of oneself. I often think Art City knows me better than I do, actually. And I just remember when I was working on this view of feeling kind of not good enough, that would sort of bite at times. Art City would often just sort of say to me, "You're going to have to just realise you're a really good man." just loads of occasions where Art City would almost take hold of me and just say, "You're a good man," you know. And I think that's also sort of reflecting back something, sort of reflecting back that I've got a kind of wrong view of myself. I'm not good enough, and that sometimes is inconvenient as well. Sometimes I didn't even really want to sort of hear it, you know, And I think, like I was saying, I think the one of the main sort of points, I suppose, is intimacy. I think. In order to be able to sort of do that with your friends, you need to really know one another really sort of deeply. It needs to be a really good connection, a really strong sense of trust and sort of meta, good sort of heartfelt connection. One can only sort of do that in sort of deep relationships, I think. So in intimacy, I think that's sort of been the character of my sort of deepening sort of relationship with these two men. Yep. And it's just been really positive. It's just been incredibly sort of positive, actually. And it's just really allowed me to sort of work on those habits and views that I was sort of talking about earlier, and move towards greater sense of purpose, meaning, direction. And I've got a sort of there was a sort of shift in this area actually, which I want to sort of talk about, just to sort of illustrate. In a way, I've been talking about the sort of conditions of friendship, putting those conditions in place, and how those have allowed me to get clearer on my views. But I want to talk about an experience I had at Papaloka on a winter retreat a couple of years ago, 2016, where there was a sort of shift. A shift that happened. So I was having meditation reviews with another friend of mine, Satyaraja. And it was a Brahma Viharas retreat, and I just got on really well. Actually, I had a really, really good run of meditation. Very, very sort of deep sort of experiences. No doubt conditioned by what I'd brought onto the retreat, this sense of being in connection with other people in a sort of deeper way. And there's something about those meditation reviews that I can't really sort of talk about, actually. It was almost like something was being drawn out of me by Satyaraja, but leaving his room after the meditation review, it was like he wasn't there or something. It was very, very sort of curious sort of experience. Like I say, I was having lots of absorption. I just got on very, very well in the retreat. But then after the retreat, I experienced this shift. And what I remember was I just had loads of anger coming up, a very sort of curious thing where lots of absorption into metta, into mudita. And then after the retreat, loads of kind of anger, and sometimes that falling into kind of ill will. And what was sort of happening was I was sort of moving from being a sort of someone with low self-esteem to someone with much more sort of confidence. I was accessing more sort of energy. And I found that my perfectionism sort of got switched off. It was really curious. I was at work, and I sort of kept making mistakes that I would never normally make. I was experiencing loads less anxiety, and it was like I couldn't kind of find the switch to turn the perfectionism back on or something like that. It's very inconvenient. And I was just less worried, less self-concerned about being good enough. And actually, it was a really, really confusing time. It was actually quite painful. That sort of familiar shape had sort of shifted. There was no sort of familiarity to my sort of shape. So it was confusing, it was painful, but there was also a sense of something really, really positive coming through as well. And it was in the area of communication and relationships and friendship, actually. Yeah. And I remember, actually, I felt quite compromised in particular relationships with people. I felt quite compromised in particular with my partner and with my boss. And interestingly, that's where that view of not being good enough and looking for approval would flare up a lot of the time. But because I was a sort of different shape, I was an unfamiliar shape to them. And actually, I had quite a lot of difficult communication with both those relationships. So it was very, very sort of confusing sort of time. But there was a sense that there was more. It was like I couldn't compromise on my values and on my this newfound sort of sense of sort of purpose in my sort of life, in my sort of communication. It's quite difficult to kind of pin this down, but what I can say is actually those relationships I talked about, actually there was a kind of truer communication. For instance, I was less of a conflict avoider, so actually I didn't really fall into resentment very much. I was able to communicate much more sort of positively, much more skillfully with people through that. So my relationships actually benefited over time. There's much more sort of open communication, and I felt in greater sort of harmony and connection with other people as well. And a sort of greater sense of freedom and liberation, very sort of pleasurable sort of sense of sort of direction in my life. And so you know, starting to draw this talk to a close, I think the main point I want to make is that was an experience that I had at Padmaloka. You know, we can kind of talk meditation experiences up, can't we? But the main point I want to make is that experience wouldn't have arisen if it wasn't for the life of friendship that I was living, that I am living. And it also needed a life of friendship in order for me to make sense of it. I remember meeting up with Arta Siddhi and just sort of asking him, you know, what's actually going on? Is this positive, what's happening? Or, you know, do I need to, you know, work with this? Is it something that's sort of negative? Am I going backwards? You know, it's very, very sort of confusing. I needed that life of friendship, actually, to sort of make sense of that experience. Yeah, and it required, as I said earlier, it required this greater intimacy in my life, I think, and particularly with men, with my male friendships, required that. So just, in conclusion, I just think how badly we need spiritual friendship. I just think it's one of Bhante's greatest insights, actually, in the world that we live in. And particularly men, I think, actually. I think we've sort of lost our tribe. I think we've sort of we've really lost our sort of sense of community. I think we all have in the world that we live, but I think particularly men, or maybe that's just some men. That's been my experience anyway. And I just have a lot of gratitude for what I've been given, and I'm just really inspired to share that sort of vision of friendship. That's all I have to say. I just think friendship and sangha, I just think it's sort of the greatest gift that I can give to the world, actually. Thank you.